Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And our Most Holy Father, whom we love so much, we ask you, Lord, for grace during this time for everybody to receive what they need to receive through this message. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to be talking about prepared to feed the church. And this first revelation that I'm going to share concerning this was called Meats or Empty Sweets. And it was given to K.H. The dream began as I arrived at this large convention center. And I believe this represents the corporate church. I walked through the glass front doors and went over to where a group of people were standing. And as soon as I walked over to the group, a young woman came and asked if I wanted to help serve food. I agreed, and as I enjoy serving others, and followed her into the kitchen area. Well, this dream is about feeding the church, right? So when I entered the kitchen, I saw many other volunteers lined up to get trays of food to take to the two different rooms. So I got in line. Of course, the food that we're talking about here most of the time is talking about what UPM is feeding. And, of course, people have been handing out things that UPM is feeding so that the food has been passed on. I was first given a tray and was told to go into the first room out of the kitchen door. In the first room, there were rectangular tables of people along the walls and two rows of tables down the middle. The room was filled with very hungry people. I noticed that the men, women, and children in that room had very worn clothes and were gaunt-looking. Well, I would say most of the church is starving for heavenly food. And God's got a cure for that coming, you know, as we've been talking about. I went to the first table in the middle of the room and started putting down the plates of food on my tray. If we are partaking of the body and the blood of Christ, we will be dressed up with him as our wedding garment, and we will spiritually be healthy and strong. Romans 13 and 12 says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, and not in chambering and wantonness, and not in strife and jealousy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, notice that if we are putting on Jesus, we are putting on truth and not letting the flesh have its way. After I finished passing out all the plates of food I had, I noticed that all of them had a slice of pie. And they put a note here, pie is sweet and can fill you up if you eat enough of it, but you will have a sugar high and then a sugar low, and there's no substance to it. So as I watched the people begin to eat their pie, I realized that the pie slices were hollow. There was no fruit in the pie. I was very disturbed by this and understood why they were so skinny, as they were not being fed properly. That's true. That's kind of where the church is. They want to please the flesh too much. So teaching what is sweet to the flesh is fruitless and will not make you strong in the Lord. We really need to learn the crucified life, don't we? So there were some people in the room who seemed to understand that there was no substance to their meal. But there were some who searched all over the plate and inside the crust to try to find the fruit that was supposed to be in the pie. And a note here from them that some people in the apostate church are satisfied with the emptiness that they have grown accustomed to, but some are searching for the truth because they know there's more to Christianity than what they have been taught or fed. Yep, and my thought is man's opinions and traditions have no spiritual fruit or nourishment. They can't bring you into the image of Christ. They do not clothe one's nakedness so that spiritually their sin is revealed. And many don't know that they are in this condition because those whom they consider spiritual seem the same way, which gives them permission to continue in their sins, right? Revelation 3 and 16 says, "So because thou art lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest that I am rich, and have gotten riches, and have need of nothing." Some people are just satisfied with what they got. They're not searching for more. And knowest not that thou art wretched, a wretched one, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest become rich, and white garments, that thou mayest clothe thyself, and that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest. And eye salve to anoint thine eyes, that thou mayest see. So those who do hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled, as the word says in Matthew 5 and 6, right? I didn't want to continue because I began to feel so sad for those people who were still starving and not receiving what they had come for. But I felt in my spirit that I needed to deliver food to the next room. So I went back into the kitchen and got another tray of food and walked to the second room. And as I entered the room, the tables were all set up the same way, but the people in that room had less worn clothes and looked much healthier than the people in the other room. So when I passed the plates of food out to the people in the second room, I realized that there were slices of meat, like a meatloaf. Unlike the pie, you can become full by eating the meat, and you will stay full longer without having the sugar high and low effect. This meat seemed to satisfy all of the people, much more than in the other room. This second room represents those Christians who eat the meat of the Word and are getting fed by the true Word, not the empty gospel. And I might say also that they are not just hearers of the Word, deluding themselves, but doers of the Word. Jesus said that his meat was to do the will of his Father. It's not just knowledge. Some people feed on knowledge and like it, but they don't do it, okay? He said that only those who hear and do the word would have a house that would survive the waves and the winds of life, right? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, doeth the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? And by thy name, that's what it originally says, and that's what it says in my Bible. It doesn't say in, that's the difference there. And by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Every one therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Well, it would be far better for some to stay home and read their Bible than to go to a spiritually poverty-stricken and starving church only to be fed leaven. Back to the Revelation, it says, and soon as I awoke up from this dream, the Lord reminded me of this passage in John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth hath eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which cometh down out of heaven. Believe it, believe it. It gives life, that a man may eat thereof and not die. In other words, have eternal life. You eat the bread of heaven to have eternal life. Not just accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, which is not even in the Bible, right? Okay, 51. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I give is my flesh, for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove one with another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus therefore said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in yourselves. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. We want the life of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, right, in us. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he that eateth me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. And of course, Jesus was the Word made flesh. You know, he was the bread that came down out of heaven. partake of Jesus every day in his word, okay? Don't trust that men can do this for you. You have to have a personal relationship with him. So, Jesus is the word made flesh, which we must eat. It is plain that a person cannot just blindly go to church, as the Jews did, and not partake of the word for himself and expect to have life. There are so many Christians, they went on to say in this revelation, who are spiritually starving under the apostate church, and I am thankful for the Lord giving me this reminder to pray for his children who are still searching for him so that they might find the truth sooner rather than later. Only when Christ is in us through eating the word do we bear his fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, and are strong to withstand the attacks of the enemies who come to plunder us of our heritage. And this next revelation was given to Judy Farno, transformed to bear fruit in others. Amen. And Debbie Horton also put some notes in here. I might share those with you too. In a dream, I was in the living room feeding a small baby boy a bottle of milk. And I believe that this represents feeding her spiritual man of Christ in you, the only hope of glory. And Debbie's note here is 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. And also I believe the Lord was showing me Matthew 12:50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. So we are the mother of Christ if we feed our spiritual man the word of God. He's like that baby of our spiritual man growing up in us, right? About to be revealed to the world. So in the parable of the seed of the sower, the seed of God is his word, and our heart is the womb to bring forth the fruit of Christ, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And when the baby is born, this fruit of Christ is revealed to the world, for we are to look like our Father. If you don't look like your Father, guess what? You must have another Father. Yeah. Well, that's the problem. Go look at the church and see if they measure up here. Okay, Luke 1:30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, which is God with us, right? If you want God with you, eat the word, right? And feed your spiritual man. Let him grow up so he can be revealed to the world. And Elizabeth said unto Mary, who like us was to bear the fruit of Jesus, right? And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. She believed the word. She acted on the word, right? The neighborhood kids kept coming into the house and getting out all of the baby's toys, the baby boy's toys. And Deb said, other Christians try to distract our born-again man with the things of the world so that we don't grow up in him. Ephesians 5:15 says, Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, I agree. And I'm going to add Colossians 3 and 2 on down. It says, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, the baby born, right? Then shall you also with him be manifested in glory. Manifested here is phaneru, and it means to make visible, as in a birth, to cause to shine, as the shining forth of the glory of Christ, right? I didn't want all that chaos, clutter, and noise as I was feeding the baby. Well, because we must concentrate on the milk of the Word so our spiritual man will grow up into the meat and image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, but we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, that's what our faith does, right? The glory of the Lord. We see that we have it. It's ours by faith, and we're going to talk it and walk it, right? Are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So that's how you get it. Even as from the Lord the Spirit. Then I told all the other children to pick up the toys and put them away, and that they had to leave. I ushered them out of the door. I closed it and locked the door so they could not try to come back inside. If you just feed with the babies, you're never going to be anything more than a baby. You know, you need to feed the meat. Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Luke 10 and 41. But the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. For Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Meaning, of course, the rest of that can be taken away. It's not no eternal value in these distractions, right? Joshua 1 and 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night. Notice, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And Galatians 5 and 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that ye may not do the things that you would, that your old flesh would, right? Then, as I was going back to where the baby was to feed him, I couldn't find him. And then I noticed that he was bigger and walking around the room. And I thought, well, I can't feed him any more from a bottle. He needs more growth, growing up food, or a jar of baby food, right? Well, Judy's fruit of Jesus grows quickly from the milk of the Word to the meat because she is concentrating on spiritual and not the carnal, and the Word and not the world, right? Hebrews 5 and 12. For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments or first principles of the oracles of God. and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For every one that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness. In other words, doing the word, right? For he is a babe. Well, notice that experiencing the word and not just knowing it is going from milk to meat. But solid food, verse 14, is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So we must use the word to experience it and grow to maturity. James 1 and 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the mirror." In other words, you're not beholding the face of Jesus, right? "For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing." When you read the word, decide to act on it immediately, to start practicing acting on it, because if you go past that point and you don't act on it, you'll just forget. That's what happens. "Then I was also wondering where I was going to find clothes to fit him, because he was growing so fast. And he just kept growing and growing until he was very tall, maybe 7 feet tall." That's a spiritual man, right? So our spiritual clothes are our works of righteousness and show our maturity, as in being a member of the bride, right? Revelation 19 and 8. "And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright," that's the word lampros, meaning radiant, or glory shining forth, right? "Bright and pure, for this fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." He also had wide shoulders, this baby that had grown up. And Deb gave this verse here, Isaiah 9 and 6. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So when you look in the mirror, that's who you're supposed to be seeing, right? In other words, that's mine. He gave that life to me. "Then I felt I needed to find my husband to tell him what had happened." Well, our spiritual husband is Jesus, who is the Word, which is the seed that brings forth his life in the womb of the natural man, right? So you need to put it in there. So Judy here represents the natural man who brings forth the spiritual man of Christ in you. And all of God's people are called to bear the fruit of Jesus. The first fruits of these sons of God is the man-child who will lead God's people through the wilderness tribulation in the days to come. This man-child will be caught up to the throne of God's authority to do his work. And you're going to see those manifestations of healings and deliverances and miracles very soon. He then said he needed to go to his father. And we got into the car, and he backed the car out of the driveway and drove to a big open field. He's growing up pretty quick, isn't he? And Deb had Matthew 13:38, the field is the world. Yep. And that's why we're growing up, is to bring it to the world, right? He got out of the car and looked up, and I saw the heavens opened up, and he ascended into heaven, just like Jesus did, right? So our personal man-child will live with our Father in heavenly places. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, and raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the First Fruits Man-Child Company will now be caught up to the throne to minister to the woman church in the wilderness. Revelation 12:5 says, and she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her. That's the man-child. May nourish her like Jesus did in the wilderness, right? 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. So the seed is in the fruit. Those who have the fruit have the seed. All right, the next thing I knew, I was back home in my living room. In other words, ready to go to work in the kingdom. I didn't drive back. I was just there, back in my home. I was feeding another baby, and he also started to grow really fast. So once our spiritual man is grown, we are capable of feeding and raising other spiritual men so that they too can bear fruit quickly and live in heavenly places in Christ. Luke 6:42 says, or how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me cast out the mote out that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. As I watched him grow, I had another baby in my arms feeding him. And again, he grew really fast. And another baby appeared in my arms, and I was feeding him. And it was like the babies just kept coming. And you know, you run into them every day. They're babies in the Lord, and they're not growing up because they're not receiving the right food, right? The babies just kept coming and coming and growing up very fast. And then the alarm clock went off. So the time will come when the time is up to bear the first fruit in others. But in the wilderness, many will bear the fruit of Christ through them. Those first fruits that are being raised up now are the ones who are going to bring the people of God through this wilderness experience that's just ahead and show them the way. So just as the disciples of Jesus, the first fruit grew up to bear his fruit, so it will be with many others. And this is what Jesus taught in John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. We must die to our own will and the toys of this world, and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that all these other things will just come to you. The catching to the throne of the first fruits is near. So you can obviously be in that now, but once that happens, it's too late to be in the first fruits. So I asked the Lord for a verse regarding this dream and opened the Bible and put my finger down on Ezekiel 37:4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy over these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That was the resurrecting power right there. This is the way the revival will bring in the dead religious multitudes and give them life in Christ. Even as Satan's minions fight to stop us, many have been diligent to get the word out to others so that they can grow up quickly, as we've seen in this revelation. And Deb said, I also asked for a word by random computer and received Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. In other words, if you're just a talker and not a doer, you're not going to get very far. You can't grow on that. Meaning, let's talk about it less and feed the spiritual man more, or we will end up spiritually poverty-stricken. Okay, this revelation we called Man-Child, Bride, Feed, Apostate, Baby Believers. And this was given to Missy Pollock. And there's some notes in here by B.A. And my notes. In a dream, I was walking on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere. I would call that the wilderness tribulation, following a young man. I had a love for this young man whom I had never felt before. So in type, Missy is following Jesus in the man child who will lead the bride and under her the church through the wilderness tribulation. This young man went into a field, which is the world, right? And when he came back out of the field, he had a baby in his arms. He was now dressed in shepherd-like clothing that was multicolored. If you remember, Moses went into his own personal wilderness, and only when he overcame there did he come back to bring the people of God there. So having this multicolored clothing on when he came out of the field means he was anointed to be the man-child. And also Joseph's coat of many colors represents the attributes of the light of Christ, the man-child. I asked him with great concern for the baby, where did you get that baby? Which represents believers in the worldly church who have not yet matured. He didn't say anything. I kept following him with this baby. And the next thing I knew, we were on the second floor of a house, walking into a room. In other words, no longer walking on earth, walking in the first stage of the spiritual realm, walking in the light, and walking in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In this room was a crib full of babies, and I asked the young man again with great concern for these babies, where did you get all these babies? He didn't answer, But I knew that he had rescued these babies because he loved and cared for them. Where did he rescue them from? Well, I would say the carnal church, right? The man-child will rescue many baby Christians from the apostate leadership, just like Jesus did. He was a sign of the man-child. And I was holding one of the babies, and it was cute and very dark skin. Well, they are very dark because they have been walking in the apostasy of the apostate church. I also noticed the baby had sharp claws on its hands and feet, meaning they have beastly works and on a walk. You can tell that, you know, with these people. They're not kind and gentle and so on and so forth, not condemning and so on and so forth, right? The claws come out. So I asked the young man, "Are you sure this baby is human?" He said, "Yes, I'm sure." I felt funny asking this, and I said, "I hated asking that, but I wasn't sure." Well, the beast nature in the spiritual land of their life keeps the believers from maturing and coming into the image of our Jesus. So Exodus 23 and 29 says, "I will not drive them," meaning the carnal man, "out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee," meaning the spiritual man, right, is going to drive them out. He's conquering your land of the Canaanites, right? "Until thou be increased and inherit the land." So little by little, he's going to take you to each one of these enemies, and the spiritual man with the sword of the Lord will get rid of them. "And after that, I felt this dark presence of a man." I believe this is representing the apostate leadership that's been keeping them in bondage. "He come up from behind me, and he tried to seduce me by speaking leavened words, which are doctrines of demons. I said, 'Leave me alone and get away from me.' Then all of a sudden I realized where the young man got the babies. And I said to him, 'I get it. I know where you got these babies.' He got these babies from the carnal women who couldn't take care of them because they don't have the unleavened word of God to feed them." Yeah, Isaiah 4 and 1 says, "And seven women," that's the seven churches mentioned in Revelation, right, representing the sects of Christianity, "and seven women shall take hold of one man," that's Jesus in the man-child in our day, "in that day, saying, 'We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name. Take thou away our reproach.'" So, yes, they were called Christians, but they didn't look like Christians. That's the problem. "I said, 'You bought them from him,'" meaning the dark presence man. That's right. That's right. That's where he got the babies. "The man-child paid the price to receive the unleavened bread and to feed the babies who were under the false prophet, apostate leadership. Then the dark presence of this man was gone, and when you expose the darkness by speaking the light of the truth, it must go." Yeah, and when you reject the seduction of leaven, he has no power. "Then I went over to the crib full of babies. With each of the babies was a birth certificate type document showing ownership, born of God, purchased by the blood of the Lamb, in parentheses. I noticed one of the babies was a little chubbier than the rest, and it didn't have any hair. Well, this represents overindulging in the world and no submission to God. That's what it represents. And I picked this baby up and started taking care of it. I immediately loved this baby. I took the baby with me out of the room and into another room where there was a set of stairs that went down to the first floor. You got to start down there with them because they don't know any better. A man was standing on the stairs almost at the bottom, keeping guard, watching for those thieves like the Pharisees stealing God's sheep, right? John 10:1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." I would tell that baby, "Mommy loves you," and I would just kiss and kiss that baby and tell it that I loved it over and over again. I was feeding the baby with kisses, which are the word of God. Psalm 1:2, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." Well, you know, love of the brethren is one of the most common themes in the Word, and love never faileth. Love them into the kingdom. Some people think you have to condemn them into the kingdom, but this doesn't do it. It doesn't work. It's the good news that's the power of God to save them. The good news, not all the bad news. They already know the bad news. So this room looked like the reception area of a doctor's office. A woman was standing by a desk looking at some files in her hands, and she asked me, "Didn't you use to wear glasses?" Well, seeing the world, the world's way, in other words. I said, "Yes, but not anymore, because I can see now." She then took a card out of one of the files and put it really close in front of my face, and it was all blurry. Well, she is not nearsighted, but farsighted, like those with faith who see things far out as already in their possession. She then took it away quickly and said, "You can see." Yes. I used to wear glasses, but stopped wearing them, believing that my eyes are healed in Jesus' name. Well, amen. The card blurry, when I looked at it, was showing that I had learned to walk by faith and not by sight. I represent the bride, and the test was to see if I was qualified to be in the bride and to take care of the baby. So only those who walk and see by faith for the babies can teach faith to them. That's the way they grow. These are the verses that the Lord gave me. 1 Corinthians 15:27, "For he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he saith all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who did subject all things unto him. And when all things have been subjected unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject to him that is subject all things unto him." and things there, by the way, was italicized. Subject all things unto him. It's just subject all unto him, that God may be all in all. So he's talking about people here, not things. It's the chosen people who are being brought into submission and subjection to the Father. Like the overindulgent and under-submissive baby Christians that the man child and the bride were caring for in the dream. And 2 Chronicles 33:3, for he, this was Manasseh, the dark presence leadership of that time, for he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for the Baalim, and made Asheroth, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord said, in Jerusalem, the bride, that is, shall my name be forever. The bride. His name, his nature, character, and authority. That's what onoma means in the New Testament, right? Is in the bride, and that's where he dwells. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven. Manasseh did, right? He caused God's people to sacrifice their lives to demons. In the two courts of the house of the Lord, he also made his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. So this leadership is sending spiritual children to hell. And he practiced augury and used enchantments and practiced sorcery and dealt with them that had familiar spirits. Well, all of these, of course, are forbidden knowledge and false prophecy, demons. And with wizards, he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set the graven image of the idol which he had made in the house of God. In other words, he raised up the golden calf in God's house. Of which God said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name, meaning nature, character, and authority, forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from off the land which I have appointed for your fathers, if only they will observe to do all that I have commanded them. So they can stay in the promised land when they do what they're commanded in the word. Even all the law and the statutes and the ordinances given by Moses. Well, because of this dark leadership, the people were driven from the land of milk and honey and into the captivity of the beast. And Manasseh, meaning causing to forget, so this apostate leadership of God's people caused them to forget his word and his ways. Manasseh. He seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the apostate leadership. That's them. The leadership of God's people in that day, they were all fallen away. So that they did evil more than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And Daniel 2:12 says, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Well, the beast will destroy the harlot as Revelation says, he will destroy all the apostate leadership or dark presence man by bringing them under submission to it in Revelation 17. The beast is a corporate body of spirits from the abyss who enter perdition or destruction as the corporate body of the sons of perdition. They are sons of perdition. They will go to perdition, which is destruction. Psalm 80 and 18 says, "So shall we not go back from thee. Quicken thou us." A good prayer, which means make alive, right? "And we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Your dependence upon God should be expressed, right? Father will grant grace to many apostate babies to turn to him because they are not as responsible as their leaders are for their sins because they haven't been sent to Bible school. We call this bride to feed the tribulation church. Amen. This was given to Eve Brast. I dreamed I was at my dad's parents' old house in Highland Park in Dallas, Texas. Their home had been built during the Great Depression in the 1930s. Well, the world is coming to a Great Depression again, and was surrounded by million-dollar mansions when I was young. So Eve here represents the bride, for she was the bride of Adam, and Jesus was the last Adam. So it's very fitting for her to be the bride in this case. The house that Eve was raised in represents the church, which is overshadowed by this world. The church is returning to the Depression era in the tribulation while being completely outclassed and encircled by the world beast. She said they had refused to sell their lot. Well, that sounds like Naboth. They will refuse to sell their inheritance, their land, right? Their lives are being typed there to Ahab, representing the beast. I was on what appeared to be a transparent racetrack in the air above their house. So we are running a spiritual race, which is unseen, but it is in heavenly places above the church, which is earthly. I was running around on this track, preparing all sorts of healthy fruits and salads for God's people. So the bride is preparing the word from heaven for the people. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to go downstairs and feed the people. Well, she was to feed them the true gospel, the good food, this food that's good for you. It'll make you grow up, right? I went downstairs into the kitchen and dining area and set the food that I had prepared near the double sink on the right side of the kitchen. I had a small plastic container of dried cranberries that I had prepared for myself that I set down with the other food. Well, cranberries are a very healthy fall fruit. But when they're dried, like these were, they are preserved so that they can be eaten any time of the year. And the word is that way. We can pick it up every day, and we should, every day. like the word that will go forth from the first fruits man-child ministry. Preserved by many methods of recordings so that many can partake of them at any time during the year, right? The bride will be first to partake of this ministry. Cranberries are the color of blood, representing those who are washed in it and have lived the crucified life. I didn't charge anything for the food I had prepared. Well, we know that the bride gives the clean word of God freely as Jesus commanded. They're not buying and selling like the Babylonians, right? There was another fruit stand in the dining room with a sign on it that read, $1 each. Well, the harlot church merchandises the word. But they have no faith, or they wouldn't have to do that. So nobody was at the stand. It was deserted. Nobody was running it, and nobody was buying the fruit. Well, an abomination of desolation. The Holy Spirit and the righteous will be leaving the apostates who make merchandise of the word. God's true people will not buy the harlot's food anymore. There was a huge polished wooden statue of the Babylonian king standing in the center of the fruit stand. That's where they were buying and selling, right? So the harlot church is united with the beast and worships its image. It was as tall as a large tree with a bald eagle in front of it with its wings spread back against its sides. It was all carved out of the same piece of wood. The one world order is being carved out. The large tree was the Babylonian head of gold in the image of the beast, as we find in Daniel 2 and 3, that was hewn down and conquered. So she said, as I was looking up at the head of the statue, I heard a faint rumbling. I became disoriented, or it seemed as if the statue was about to fall over on me. I quickly looked away from it, and the fear left me. So if you get your eyes on the image of the beast, you're going to have trouble. The Babylonish U.S. is about to incur devastating earthquakes. The rumblings are already being heard in the fault zones. And as long as we look at the physical, when things begin to fall apart, we will be fearful. You know, like when she looked at the image, right? But if we turn to the word, the fear will leave and we will not fall into these judgments. Isaiah 26 and 3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So I remembered my cranberries and went back to the sink area to get them. The bride will remember the man-child teachings and will be able to feed many. These two women who looked like my mom came and received my food joyfully and thankfully. So let me say, when the shakings that we just saw begin, many from the church who have scoffed at the Man-Child teachings will receive them with joy from the bride, because they are answers and deliverance in the tribulation. You know, Moses went through the wilderness before he could bring the people there. And many of the false ministers have never been in the wilderness because they've never permitted themselves to walk by faith, right? I was glad that they appreciated it, but I noticed that my cranberries were gone. I was disappointed because I cherished eating them because they were sweet and sour at the same time. In reality, I don't care for cranberries that much. So this is a type and a shadow, obviously. The cranberries represent the word through the man-child. It's sweet in your mouth, but bitter in your belly, as the Bible says. In other words, it's death to the flesh, but it raises up the spiritual man. So the sweet and bitter. I then went back over to the fruit stand, and a woman appeared in a white and black maid outfit. She was violently stirring a bowl of ingredients and resentfully preparing the king's dainties for him and his household. She said, "I then looked over to the left of the fruit stand and saw two kings sitting and dining together. They were dressed in royal robes with their crowns on their heads. The Babylonian king was on the left, and the Persian king was on the right." Guess you can guess who they are, right? The Babylonian king is Obama, and the Persian king is Trump, because he conquered the Babylonians. Servants waited on them as they dined, and as I looked at the Babylonian king, his image alternated with that of Obama's. He was pretending to be the Persian king's friend. Catch this now. Which is Cyrus Trump. He was pretending to be the Persian king's friend. Cyrus, of course, was the head of the Persian Empire who conquered Babylon. Mm-hmm. But secretly was intending to destroy him and the Persian kingdom. Yes, this is true. How great is this prophecy here? The new republic is this Persian kingdom. Alexander the Great's Grecian kingdom conquered this Persian kingdom that we're in right now. History must repeat. My notes here are not prophecy, but an attempt to put a puzzle together. And I believe every time I think on this, I learn more. Obama and the deep state, who are covertly, violently stirring the Middle East nations of factionalized Islam, you know, he's been giving them money. Billions of dollars, and in effect delivering them over to unceasing war. He armed up their military machines and their people that they support to go out and do things for them, which is how they make money, right? War. The powers that be who own the capped wells in the United States, I believe, will soon open them because of the high price of oil elsewhere. They capped the wells because if you had an abundance of oil, the cheaper it got. And so they capped them on purpose to keep the price of oil high at that time, you know. But now our oil is probably going to be cheaper for us than it is overseas, as we can see. So the destruction of these nations was predicted in Jeremiah 25, 20 through 26, where at the end of this list of nations that Babylon, the U.S., overthrew, was Iran. Along this list, we can see the Philistines and Gaza. In other words, the Palestinians. Elam, that's the Persians, Iran. The Medes, you know, which were conquered by Cyrus, right? And then they became a part of his kingdom. And Shishak, which is another name for Babylon, falls last. So the one that's conquering all these nations in the end is going to fall. So history must repeat according to Ecclesiastes 1:9. So as I came up behind them, I saw my cranberries in a decorative clear glass candle holder sitting in front of the Persian king. That's Trump. I reached in between them and quickly took the candle holder and emptied the cranberries into my right hand and placed the candle holder back in front of the Persian king. Suddenly, a hand appeared out of nowhere and replaced my cranberries with a crimson, which is the color of blood, right, candle in the candle holder. The world is going to be going through a lot of blood. I got to tell you, they're doing it now. Escaping the notice of the kings. They didn't see this, so this was being done. The man-child ministry served under both of these kings in Daniel, as they are today and will be today. The bride, Eve, will partake of the fruit, but they will partake of the light as they did in Daniel's revelation. Have you noticed that he, as the man-child ministry of his day, gave much light from God to those rulers? This reminds me, she said, of the handwriting on the wall in the book of Daniel to the Babylonian king. That's Obama and his puppets that came after him, right? He was the one controlling all of that. That his kingdom would be given to the Medes and the Persians. Aha, and that happened. You see, there's a repeat of history with those kingdoms, one right after another, being replayed in our end time. Okay? And of course, the Medes and the Persians here are Trump. And Trump is conquering a Babylon deep state, just as the Medes and the Persians did, which is America, the deep state Babylon in America. It's an entity that has taken over America, right? The man-child Daniel pronounced the judgment that the Persian king, Cyrus, Trump, would conquer the Babylonish eagle. But history shows that he would later be conquered by Alexander the Great's Grecian kingdom. Obama is attempting his second run now. The U.S. is at the very bottom of the list in Jeremiah 25 to fall as Shishak, which was Babylon. So Obama had his term, then the Medo-Persians have their term, and then Alexander the Great has his term, which I believe will be Obama. He, notice here, he is actually the enemy and trying to destroy the Medo-Persian king. That's true. All of this is true. She said the candle's wick had been lit in the past and was burnt, but was not currently lit, but was soon to be lit again. Okay, so you got Obama, and then you've got Medo-Persia, Trump, and then you've got Alexander the Great, which I believe is Obama again, who was seeking to destroy Trump, as we just read. You see how it's working all out? This is an awesome prophecy, and it's very true. So Obama's two separated terms, Jesus will soon return in the body of the man-child to bring the light to the church and the rulers. And once again, as persecution also returns, right? I then turned and walked away, eating the cranberries out of my right hand. And then I woke up. So those who increasingly come into the bride will feed on God's word through the man-child and the bride. So we call this one Bride Not to Be Captive. And this was given to Shelley Lynch. And at 5:55, by the way, which means grace multiplied. Amen. I had a brief dream this morning, the day following my trial, in which I fell into a sin and repented and received the Lord's forgiveness. I believe he gave me this dream to encourage me that I would be restored and content to be a doorkeeper in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I saw the marriage feast banquet hall. Well, let me say, the marriage feast represents the tribulation, for it is the last 7 days or years, right, before the bride is taken to the groom's home while escorted by the virgins. And this is all according to the marriage ceremony, okay? People are not keeping this in mind when they give all their interpretations of this, right? I saw food served and cake for dessert, too. And I saw busloads of people getting off the buses, sounded like revival, coming into the banquet hall. Aha, it is revival. And I was helping hang up their coats and looking for more hangers, as there were so many coming in the door. Yes, amen. So hanging their coats is resting from their old works, right? I was running from the kitchen to the dessert table, taking out more cake. Quote, God's word is sweeter than honey, she said. And as the food, or the truth, was disappearing rapidly, the people were very hungry, having come from a famine of hearing the word. That's in the churches now. You know, you talk about the prophecies of the famine of the word. Well, that's what's happening. Shelley is a type of the bride in this case, who feeds the immature saints during the marriage feast, just as in the Song of Solomon. Then I saw a black man stand up at the podium and begin to speak to the crowd in the banquet hall. And then I woke up, not sure why he was a black man. So to those unfamiliar with the sovereignty of God to teach his people with vessels of dishonor, it would come as a shock that the beast is one of the primary teachers to create sons of God. How so? Well, he will bring tribulation in the form of fiery trials on the apostate church to turn them to God and return them to the fear of God. Scriptures given after prayer by random, Jeremiah 52 and 13, And he burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, even every great house burned he with fire. So, Father will use the beast to purge out the unregenerate Jerusalem leadership from among the regenerate, which is the heavenly Jerusalem leadership, right? And I was also given Jeremiah 52 and 16, but Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poorest of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. That's when the apostates were being taken into bondage in Babylon, right? So the Lord always chooses the poor in spirit to keep and raise his vineyard. You see that? And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brazen sea that were in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians, break in pieces and carried all the brass of them to Babylon. They plundered it, right? They took their idol. The brass is the least mature, 30-fold of the three metals representing the people of God, which are gold, silver, and brass. Brass is the least valuable, and they're taking it to Babylonish captivity. So you can see stars, not the moon and not the sun glory, but the star glory are being taken to Babylonian captivity. Oh, the new leadership is the bride, and she is also black, but for a different reason, from persecution by the false brethren. Song 1 and 5 says, the bride speaking, I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me because I am swarthy, because the sun has scorched me. My mother's sons were incensed against me. So the apostate church is always the persecutor of the man-child, as they were with Jesus. And they will be with the man-child and with the bride, right? I also got Lamentations 4 and 22 by random, and I believe this is a promise to me personally and for the bride. Lamentations 4:22, the punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry thee away into captivity. Well, of course, she didn't go. So the bride will be purified in spirit before tribulation and will escape Babylonish captivity, but the Edomite Christians will go under the beast for crucifixion and to reap what they have sown against their brethren. He will visit thine iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will uncover thy sins. Yeah, these people who persecute their brethren are really members of the beast, even though they believe they're the church. Another I got by random after prayer was Lamentations 4 and 12. The kings of the earth believed not, neither all the inhabitants of the world, that the adversary and the enemy would enter into the gates of Jerusalem. So in other words, the bride has people in them, or the false bride, I would say. This is the one that went into Babylonian captivity. The Jerusalem represents the leadership of all the rest of the people of God. So the false bride went into captivity and the true bride did not. So it is because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests that have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her. So the world and the apostate leadership do not believe that they and their followers will be taken into bondage by the beast for their sins. They don't believe it. In fact, they all believe they're going to fly away. But the last enemy to be conquered is death, not the first enemy to be conquered. And their so-called rapture and resurrection doesn't happen at the beginning of the tribulation because it's the last enemy to be conquered, which is death. So still another I got by random after prayer, Jeremiah 52 and 31. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison. And he spake kindly to him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments. And Jehoiakim did eat bread before him continually all the days of his life. And for his allowance, there was a continual allowance given him by the king of Babylon, even every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. So this is showing that some of the apostate leadership that is not spiritually killed will repent in Babylon and be given favor by the beast, for God is able to make our enemies to be at peace with us if we please him, as he says, right? Okay, we call this original word restores original church. This is true. And this was given to Eve Brast. When I woke up this morning, I had been dreaming of a harvest of restoration, and when I looked over at the clock, it was 5:55 a.m. That's two of those so far. Five is, of course, the number of grace, which is the only way the church will receive the restoration that it does not deserve. And remember, when Jesus, as a type of the man-child ministry of our day, came and started the restoration of a time when the people were blind and sinful and sick spiritually and physically, following evil apostate leaders, they deserved nothing, but he gave everything to them. He met all of their needs by grace, as he is about to do in our day. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Hallelujah. I dreamed that my husband and I and our boys went back to Texas, meaning friends, to reclaim my father's land that he had willed to me, and that my mother had signed over to me the deed of ownership. So we are a gathering of friends whose ambition is to reclaim our Father's land, willed to us through the New Testament or will. The New Testament means a will, right? It was deeded to us by the early Mother Church. The promised land is everything that He gave us in His will. And of course, some people are not accepting that. They just pick and choose, right? Verses. Joshua was told that every place in this land that we put the sole of our feet, He will give it to us. Every place in the New Testament where we stand on His word, it will be given to us. So preachers are very busy making sure that doesn't happen. This has all been stolen by a great army of plunderers, but restoration is coming by grace. Who are the plunderers? Who are these Babylonian preachers? That's who they are, who are robbing God's people. Joel 2 and 25 says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. They came to plunder God's crop." And think about the dark ages that we're coming out of. They plundered God's crop. But He's talking about a restoration. "And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel," which is a type of the church, "and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Get ready, you people out there that don't believe in this. It's going to happen. "And your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit." All of you that don't believe in this, you need to read the book of Acts and see what it is to have the Spirit poured out, because it's coming again. "We had come to reclaim it from a cruel landlord who had swindled it away from me through deception and trickery." She's talking about a landlord that took over her property when she was younger, right? That happens. "He was well known for his reputation for dishonest practices in stealing properties away from people." Yes, many preachers are stealing the property of God's people, which is all of the New Testament. "Satan and his ministers have come to steal that what was willed to us through the New Testament from our Father. And these thieves have been talking many out of their promises because they have no faith, rather than teaching us how to live on those promises by faith. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13. "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light. It's no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness." It's not the devil with his pitchfork and his horns. That's not the way they're coming. "Whose end shall be according to their works." John 10 and 8 says, "And all that came before me are thieves and robbers. Before the man-child comes the thieves and the robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life, and may have it abundantly. So what shall we do about this theft of our land for the last 2,000 years? Let's go back to our text in Joel, Joel 2 and 17, God's promise. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach. In other words, to be conquered by the beast, right? That the nations shall rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then was the Lord jealous for his land, and had pity on his people. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. So our land shall once again bear fruit unto us by promise. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations, because the nations don't have respect for Christianity, because they haven't seen Christianity. But I will remove far off from you the northern army. So he will get rid of the army of thieves, and will drive it into a land barren and desolate, its forepart into the eastern sea, and its hinder part into the western sea. In other words, they will be driven totally out of our land, meaning reprobation. And its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord hath done great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth its fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. In other words, our land shall once again bear fruit unto us by believing the promises. You know, this natural life came from the dirt. It is the land. Our natural life is going to bear the fruit of Jesus. Verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causeth to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of the gifts of the Spirit. Read the book of Acts. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall be overflowed with new wine and oil. So this thief of a landlord looked just like our current landlord, whose name is Doug, she said. The name Douglas is an anglicized form of the Scottish surname Douglas, meaning a dark river, from the Gaelic dub, meaning dark, and glaes, water, river. So Douglas was originally a river name, which then became a Scottish clan name belonging to a powerful line of Scottish earls. It has been used as a given name since the 16th century. So this dark water river represents the deceptions that stole the promises from God's people. Jesus spoke to us a river of living water, which we also must speak. John 7:37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive." Yes, and they will in our day too. "For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Some of the multitude, therefore, when they heard these things, said, 'This is of a truth the prophet.'" But the apostate leaders speak a river of the waters of darkness. You see the other waters we've been looking at, right? And death. People die before their time because they don't believe the promises of God. 2 Peter 2:17. "These are springs without water, mists driven by a storm, for whom the blackness of darkness hath been reserved. The worldly will receive their river of lies, but the true church will not." Revelation 12:16 says, "And the earth," and I will say earthly, "helped the woman," that's the church, "and the earthly opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth." So if the worldly swallow it, the righteous know it is no good. Hey, if they buy it, it can't be right, you know. Look at the fruit, right? So the harlot church is a member of the body of the beast and rides on his back. Notice in 17:3 in Revelation. "And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman," that's the harlot, "sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. That's the seed of all the kingdoms of the past. All 7 kingdoms, their seed in our day is in the UN of our day, you see. "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having her in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, even the unclean things of her fornication, and upon her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of the harlots of the abominations of the earth." The mother of the harlots. So all the daughters, by the way, came out of that mother. All the daughter denominations came out of that mother denomination. As members of the beast body, they and their leadership, the false prophet body, speak the deceptive doctrines that rob God's people of their promises and their promised land. Revelation 16:13, "And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, 3 unclean spirits, as it were, frogs." Frogs represent demons. "Let us agree with and speak the word to live on the promised land." 1 Peter 4:11 says, "If any man speaketh, speaking as it were oracles of God." In other words, say what God says. "If any man ministereth, ministering as of the strength which God supplieth, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whose is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Also, Isaiah 8:20, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, surely there is no mourning for them." That's M-O-R-N-I-N-G. for them, meaning only darkness, with no new day, no light of the sun, SUN/SON. Galatians 1 and 8, but though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema, meaning devoted to destruction. There's your sons of destruction right there. Or cursed, right? As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preacheth unto you any gospel other than that which you received, let him be anathema. Those who preach the dark river of lies rather than the truth of the word are cursed and to be destroyed by the coming destroyer if there is no repentance. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last hour. Of course, it was the last hour of the previous church, which was Israel, right? And now we're at the last hour today. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that of this dispensation, if you want to call it that, it's the last hour. And you have heard that Antichrist cometh. Yeah, that's what people are hearing, but that ain't the truth. Even now, there have arisen many antichrists. That's the truth, whereby we know that it is the last hour. It was their last hour, for the beast came and destroyed their nation. And now it is our last hour, and once again, the antichrist leaders are multiplied and separated from us by the word. They went, listen where they went from. Okay, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, we're still talking about Antichrist now, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they all are not of us. Where did Antichrist come from? He just told you. So when the word is preached to the wicked, they can no longer hide in the church, but depart, for they do not love the Lord and keep his commandments. So in this way, the church is sanctified of all these people who are actually members of the body of the Antichrist. God's solution is to believe only the word to abide in the temple of God, Jesus Christ. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Aha, from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son. You can abide in your church if you want to, but if you're not getting the original word, you're not abiding in the Son and in the Father, it goes on to say. So the original word is the only model to create the true church, meaning the called out ones. Did you know that the church means that? That there, if you're not coming out of the apostates, you're not going to be a called out one. Jesus called his people out of the denominations of apostate Judaism. That's a type and a shadow for our day. So back to Eve's dream. My husband, representing our bridegroom, Jesus, was an excellent negotiator, and he walked the entire property with me. So Jesus will lead us on the walk of truth to find and gain back our property. There were corn stalks in the entire property from border to border as tall as we were, surrounding the two mobile homes in the center of the property. Well, mobile homes represent tabernacles. They're a portable temple, right, in the wilderness. So corn stalks represent the people of God, in which individual kernels must fall to the ground to bear much fruit, as Jesus said. So these corn stalks were covered with ripe honeydew melons. Isn't that something? That's a real crossbred there, wasn't it? Growing in clusters of five on each stalk, like giant grapes instead of corn. So these corn stalks have a very sweet and large fruit on them, don't they? My husband was very pleased with the crop. It was morning, and the sky was so blue that the sun, that's S-U-N/S-O-N, shone on the crop like bright white light. And he is the light of the world. It wasn't yellow like the usual morning sunlight. So, without the pure sunlight of God's Word, Jesus Christ, there will be no fruit. All disciples who love the Lord will devour His Word. When my husband and I came to the back of the property, we saw a large pile of rusted out car bodies lying next to the back fence line. These are vessels representing the way and the works of God's people, having come under the curse of death and being rejected. He became angry at the cruel landlord, Doug, and went over to where he was standing next to the left mobile home. My husband then began to argue my case for me. So Jesus is, of course, a paraclete. He called the Holy Spirit another paraclete. In other words, he was a paraclete too. Jesus is a paraclete, meaning a lawyer, to the landlord, and told him that because of the rusted pile of cars that he had piled up at the back of the property, meaning they were all wrecks on his property, right? He had no legal right to it. In other words, you can't raise people up under grace. Everybody you're raising up is a wreck. And according to our law, because the apostate leaders have not brought forth fruit in the people, God would give the vineyard to those who would bring forth the fruit. He then ordered him to return the property to me and to remove all the rusted cars from the property. So remove their fruitless people from the promised land, right? The landlord knew that what my husband had said was right, because it's in the Word, right? Yeah. He acted ashamed and fearful and agreed to give my father's land back to me and hurriedly left. Matthew 21 and 33 says, "Hear another parable. There was a man that was a householder who planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen." The tower of the flock is the bride, right? "And let it out to husbandmen and went into another country. And when the season of the fruits drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen to receive his fruit." In other words, there was this guy there, old landlord, who didn't have any fruit to give. "And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them in like manner." Of course they have. They always crucify the righteous. Those people that preach the full gospel, they're crazy, right? Oh, that's speaking in tongues. That's of the devil. That's what they say. Oh, that's blasphemy. 37. But afterwards he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But the husbandmen, when they saw the son, said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. Well, they have taken his inheritance. They don't believe in the son of the Bible. They have replaced him with another son. And they took him and cast him forth out of the vineyard and killed him, just as the wicked leaders do today. So when therefore the Lord of the vineyard shall come, what will he do to those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those miserable men and will let out the vineyard unto other husbandmen. Didn't know they were talking about themselves. who shall render him the fruits in their season. So Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone, which is Jesus the Word, which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. And this was from the Lord, and it's marvelous in our eyes. The hated and persecuted ones will be the head, just like Joseph, David, Jesus, and the man-child. And therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And he that falleth on this stone shall be broken to pieces, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will scatter him as dust. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they finally caught on. They perceived that he spake of them. And so it speaks of the apostate leaders today. And when they sought to lay hold on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. So the people can hear, but the leaders can't. Did you notice? So after this, David showed up, she said, representing the David Man-Child Company, who are the coming reformers to bring forth the Lord's fruit. He had with him his personal assistant, Allison, who is a recovery room nurse that I currently work with at the hospital. She did at that time when she had this revelation. Allison's name used to be masculine and means son of the noble one. So recovery room nurses, of course, help the surgery patients to recover from their surgeries until they are stable enough to return to the nursing units on the hospital floors. So the Lord is raising up many who are gifted to help the sick church in the restoration process. Allison had been David's personal assistant, she said, for many years in this dream. She knew everything about David and his family. Well, this is a good description of many who are doing this work now, but after the coming anointing, they will be very much more successful. She went on to say, she was telling me all of the details about his wife and children and everything that they had been through together over the years. The church in the past has fallen away and persecuting the Davids, the man-child ministry, right? And I'm not saying that because my name is David. I'm still talking about the coming man-child ministry. as it was with Joseph and his brethren before their restoration. Did you notice that? Yeah, they came and Joseph looked just like an Egyptian. They didn't recognize him. He had to reveal himself to them. Jesus was like that. They all thought he was just a plain old human. But no, underneath that was somebody else. And this was before their restoration. The brethren came and they got restored. Well, UBM has helped many people over the years to recover what the enemy has stolen from them. And the greatest days are just ahead. I walked with David and Allison into the kitchen of the left mobile home, and I saw David's wife standing near the kitchen sink. The mobile home had been extremely run down, but now the kitchen had been completely restored. So this is a picture of the restoration of the spiritual family of the Davids. His wife here represents the restoration of the church that once brought forth the fruit of Jesus. She was young and beautiful, and she was wearing a white knit top with sleeves that went down to her forearms, a long skirt, and a white head covering. Of course, all this represents the restoration of the church from the curse in righteousness and purity and submission, the head covering, to her head. She was standing with her hands clasped together and had a peaceful smile on her face, and she watched with pleasure as her and David's children ran in and out of the kitchen, playing and running among the ripe crops of the honeydew melons. How would you like to pick them grapes, huh? The individual children of the church will come forth from the kitchen, representing them having partaken of the good spiritual food prepared by the reformers and Allison, and bear the sweet fruit, right? So she went on to say, their laughter filled the air along with the smell of the ripe fruit. There's a lot of happiness and joy coming to the people of God who come to find out what the real Bible says. So there is great joy in bearing the fruit of the Word. And I looked up at David, who was standing to my left in the kitchen, and I smiled at him, and I felt so much joy in my heart at this restoration that was taking place. He was very tall and had a serious look of wisdom and radiance about him, but there was a sparkle in his eye, and he said, it's time for the harvest. Okay, for the time for the harvest, that's the man-child who David was a type of, right? It's time for the harvest, he said. So, in the harvest will be the great reformation, even in the midst of a religious world falling apart, just as it was in Jesus' day. And this is so people will have examples by which to make their decisions about who they will follow and who is the Lord. And when they see the fruit, they will know who is of the Lord. Yeah. So Eve said, as we walked out of the mobile home, there was an old forest green farm truck with wooden slats on the side. You remember those, right? No, you don't. A carpenter was driving it, and there were a bunch of other carpenters in the truck bed who jumped out with the tools to restore the rest of the left mobile home. Left, of course, was people who act like goats, right? and also to help with the harvesting. So, restoring the church to its former glory. That's what God is going to do. And some of them started to work on the mobile home while others helped David and me and the recovery room nurse, Allison, pick the honeydew melons. Mm. We took them to an outdoor processing area behind the mobile homes, and then I heard the voice of the Father say, "You must cut off the rinds." Well, the rinds are, of course, the external body or flesh that carries the fruit inside, right? And this vessel is just for keeping the fruit and the seeds to feed the saints. And those who bear fruit will be able to richly feed others. And whereas the apostate church only sees that their bad education and titles are the qualification that they need. They went to Bible school. They got a certificate. But no, it's to him that overcometh will I give authority. It's not who gets the education. It's to him that overcometh, Jesus said. So I went back into the kitchen and got a paring knife out of the drawer and came back to help cut off the rinds from the melons. And David had his own special pocket knife that he used for this purpose. It's the sword of the Spirit, right? As we were all working together to harvest the fruit and cut off the rinds. That's the old man, right? Cut off the outer man, right? Allison was explaining to me that David had recently gotten his car restored, and she pointed over to where it was parked behind the right mobile home. It was a silver Mitsubishi Eclipse. Never had much of a desire for one of them. I was amazed and said, "That looks exactly like the very first new car I ever owned." This is in real life. It, too, was a silver Mitsubishi Eclipse. Well, the car, or way of progress and rest, because you just rest in a car, you don't have to run and walk, right? Must look just like the original way 2,000 years ago. And that's what she's saying. "That looks like mine. That was my first one." Yeah. Well, the meaning of the name Mitsubishi is programmable logic controllers, quote unquote. And this will eclipse, quote unquote, the old worldly religious programming and logic that brought forth no fruit. Romans 12 and 2. "And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And this is when I woke up. So I asked Father for a verse or a text for this dream, and when I flipped open my Bible and was going to put my finger down, I heard the Spirit say, "Turn back one page." So I fumbled to flip back exactly one page, and I put my finger down on Isaiah 60 and 16. "Thou shalt also suck the milk of the nations, and shall suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." The whole chapter is a wonderful promise to God's elect. Isaiah 60 is all about the restoration of the original, glorious church. This text shows that beast kingdoms will ultimately serve God's true man-child and bride, as beast kings of the past kingdoms saw the glorious God of the true disciples of God, like in the book of Daniel. The two kings that were mentioned here, they were there. Daniel was advisors to them as the man-child. They feared and bowed to him and served his kingdom representatives like Pharaoh of Joseph and Ahasuerus of Mordecai and Esther and Nebuchadnezzar of the three Hebrews and Darius of Zerubbabel, Cyrus of Sheshbazzar. You see, we have a pattern here. Yes. Well, the Lord bless you, saints. I'm over time again. I'm so sorry. No, I'm not. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you, Father. We ask you to bless us and deliver us from evil and get us ready. Feed us up, Lord. We got to grow up. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. Bye-bye.